أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 75, which is in the fourth juz, and it is the penultimate page of Surah Al Imran. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the previous episode, we mentioned the verses that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned concerning Surah Al Imran and some of the principles that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to us. And one of the final things that we mentioned is the reality of this life, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that every soul has been decreed to die, every soul shall taste death, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla will then reward or punish people accordingly on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So the one who is saved from the fire enters into Jannah. They are the ones who have achieved victory and triumph. Today we begin from verse 187 in Surah Ali Imran, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. Allah has taken a pledge, or Allah took a pledge, from those who were given the scripture to make it known, that they should make it known to people and do not conceal it. But they tossed the pledge over their shoulders. They bartered it for a small price. What a bad bargain they made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah azza wa jal, from the people of the scripture, from the mawathiq, or from the mithaq, the covenant, and the pledge that Allah azza wa jal took from them, is that they would make it known to people and they would not conceal it. Make it known, meaning the signs of Allah azza wa jal. And from those signs was the sign of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they were given, that indeed a messenger would appear, and that these are his signs or these are his traits, and they would be from those things that the people would not conceal, but rather they would convey. We know that the people of the scripture knew that a prophet would be sent, that Allah Azza wa Jalla would send a prophet after the time of Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. But they didn't know exactly where it would come from. But they knew that he would emerge, and they knew that his time was soon to appear. And this is just before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged from the Arabs, from Quraysh, from Mecca, from the descendants of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they rejected him. Many of them rejected him. And that is because they expected him to be from Bani Israel, from the line of Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, as many of the prophets were from that time, from the people of, or from the prophets of Bani Israel. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he chose him to be instead from the Arabs, from the descendants of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they ended up concealing much of that which they had. But we know that they knew those signs, because we have a hadith that speak to them. From them is the hadith of Abu Sufyan, that is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Abu Sufyan, before he became a Muslim, when he went to Byzantium, he met with the leader Hiraql, and one of the questions, or one of the things that Hiraql said to him, is that I knew that the time had now come for this prophet to emerge, but I never considered him to be from amongst you. I never thought that he would emerge from you. In other narrations, for example, the narration of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, that is clicking the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, the long narration of his conversion to Islam, and the journey that he takes in order to get to Medina, he is told by the monks that directed him towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this prophet would emerge in a land of date palm trees. And so he ends up in Khaybar. Khaybar is a place that is also known for its date palm trees and for its dates. And he thought that that would be its land, that the land where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would emerge. And Salman al-Farisi is a slave. He's being sold from one master to another. And so one of the Jewish people of Yathrib, of Medina, the old name of Medina being Yathrib, he came to Khaybar and he wanted to buy Salman al-Farisi, and he took him back to Medina. And that is where he then finds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's another sign that he would emerge in this place. Likewise, we have in the story of the Islam of the companion Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, from the Jewish learned people and scholars who accept Islam, that he came and he wanted to see if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fulfill the signs of a prophet. And from those signs is the sign of the shoulder, or the sign, the seal of prophethood on the shoulder blades of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from those signs is that the prophets of Allah don't eat from charity, but they accept gifts, and so on and so forth. So these signs were well known. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here that we took a covenant from the people of the book that they would make it clear, make it clear what is the truth, and that they wouldn't conceal it. But what did they do? فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ Rather, they tossed that pledge behind their backs. Meaning they ignored it, they broke that which Allah Azza wa Jalla had taken from them as a covenant. وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا And they bartered it for a small price. What is the small price? The price of the dunya. Why is that? Because they concealed the truth and the haqq and the truth and the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla so that they could take something from the dunya, so that they could keep their places of power, position, authority, wealth, whatever it may be. They chose the dunya over that which they made a pledge with Allah Azza wa Jalla with. فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how evil is that which they made a bargain for. In verse 188, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Do not think that those who exult in what they have done and seek praise for things that they have not done will escape the torment. Agonizing torment awaits them. Do not think that those people who do evil, say evil, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're happy with that they will escape from punishment. Just because they seem like they're happy, they seem like they're praising what it is that they're doing, don't think that that's enough for them to escape punishment. Or the fact that they love to be praised for that which they didn't do. They take the accolades of that which they didn't do, and they profess or claim that they are people of piety, people of good, people of righteousness. They take the praise for that which they didn't do. Don't think that that also is something which won't save them from punishment, but rather they will have a painful torment. And this is from the signs of the people of evil. The signs is that even when they're upon evil and they're upon wrong, and they know upon that they're upon wrong, that they are happy with that, that they're joyous over that. Whereas the believer knows when they've done wrong, they feel within themselves sadness. So when the believer, for example, disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, or they miss a salah, or they haven't paid their zakah, or they've done something wrong, their heart grieves and is sorrowful because they know that they did something to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a person who's a disbeliever, a person who's a hypocrite, a person who doesn't have any love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his religion, will be joyous over the fact that they have done wrong. And the second attribute is that they love to take accolades, or the accolades and praise, for that which they didn't do. And that is something which is abhorrent to the Muslim, that a person should praise you for something which isn't in you. And that's why the Muslim is told to be someone, you know, you don't have to expose yourself in terms of your sins, but you're also not fake in the sense that you pretend and profess to be something which you are not. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't like so that you can garner the praise of people. We also therefore understand from this verse that if it is something which you do have, it is a genuine characteristic, trait, action that you possess, and people then praise you, and you don't seek that praise, it's not showing off, it's not out of arrogance or anything, and people praise you, then that is something which is permissible and allowed. And that is why people have always praised the scholars of Islam, praised the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praised people for the good that they've done and thanked them in that way. That's done. Those people don't seek that praise. It's not done, they don't do it to show off, and it's not done in a way of arrogance. It is therefore permissible to do. But if something doesn't belong to you, it's not your action, it's not your thing, and you take that praise, that's something which is abhorrent and something which is disliked in the religion. Either way, don't think that is something which will save you from this, but rather, or save you from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, but rather an agonizing torment awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 189, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And indeed control of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Indeed Allah has power over everything. The final passage of Surah Ali Imran from verse 190 onwards until the end of the Surah, which we will split over the remainder of this episode and inshallah ta'ala the next episode, is the final passage of Surah Ali Imran. These verses are verses that are important because of the signs that they contain, of the lessons that they contain, and also because they are verses that we find mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite, and he would ponder over and he would contemplate over. So from the narrations that we have concerning this final passage of Surah Ali Imran is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he stayed one night in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his aunt Maymuna. Maymuna radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he can go and he can stay in their home. He doesn't have any issues in terms of segregation and what have you. And so he spent that night in their house, and he wanted to spend the night in worship alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says in his narration, and the hadith is done in Bukhari and so on, he says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up in the middle of the night, or towards the last third of the night, in order to stand and pray, he woke up and the first thing that he did is he recited the final passage of Surah Ali Imran. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar, this verse that we will go on to 190 of Surah Ali Imran until the end of the surah. And then he got up sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he made wudu, and then he started his night prayer. And so it's something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite at night. And that's because, as we will see, these verses contain a number of du'as and they contain a number of lessons for the believers. It's also mentioned in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent one night in prayer, in tahajjud. And she says he began to cry. And he cried so much that his beard became wet with his tears. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the whole night awake in prayer, crying, and then he went into ruku' crying, and he went into sajda crying, until the ground became moist from his tears, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spent the whole night in prayer and crying. When the time of Fajr then came, Bilal radiallahu anhu came to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he entered, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tears, his beard's wet from his tears, the ground is moist from his tears. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, do you do this even though Allah has forgiven you for all of your sins, past and future? Allah has forgiven you for all of your sins. Why do you do this in this way? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded and he said, indeed Allah azza wa jalla has revealed to me verses this night. وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْهَا. Woe to the one who reads these verses and doesn't ponder and contemplate over them. And then he recited these verses, the final passage of Surah Ali Imran. So therefore, these verses are extremely important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us, woe to the one who reads these verses, doesn't contemplate and ponder over them. So they begin, this final passage begins from verse 190, and as I said, we will split over inshallah ta'ala the remainder of this episode in the next episode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. There truly are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day for those of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this passage by telling us to ponder over his signs of the universe, the creation of Allah azza wa jal, the heavens and everything it contains, of the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the earth and everything that it contains of signs, of the mountains and the rivers and the forests and the trees and the animals and birds and fish, everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created. What an amazing sign. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and the alternation of the day and the night. How the day comes and it's a time for people to get up, to go out, to seek provision and sustenance, to work, to meet and so on. And how the night comes upon them of rest. And how each one alternates one after the other in perfect symmetry. And how sometimes the night is extended and the day is shortened, and sometimes the day is extended and the night is shortened. All of this by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, within this are signs for people of reflection. Who are those people of reflection? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and he says in verse 191, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. There are those who remember Allah standing, sitting and lying down, who reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth and they say, Our Lord, You have not created all of this without purpose. You are far above that. So protect us from the torment of the fire. In the previous verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla said that indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day are signs for the people of understanding, for people who reflect and ponder. And that shows to us that one of the major objectives of reading the Quran, of studying the Quran, of studying tafsir of the Quran, is that we stop and we pause and we ponder. So when we hear about the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we stop and we ponder over them. When we hear the stories of the prophets and the past nations, we stop and we ponder over them. When we hear the descriptions of hellfire and paradise and the day of judgment, we stop and we ponder over them. And so we hear the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed all around us, that show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and His creation and His right to be worshipped alone, and we stop and we ponder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are the people who are constantly in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're constantly mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when, for example, there's natural disasters, they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those people who, when they look at the heavens and the earth, they see the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They remember Allah as they stand. They remember Allah as they sit. They remember Allah as they lie down upon their sides, in their beds, and so on. Always constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they think and they ponder over the creation of Allah azza wa jalla of the heavens and the earth. And they come to the realization, O our Lord, مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَعْطِيلًا. You didn't just create this without purpose, with in jest, in play. All of this that we have, did Allah azza wa jalla just create us for no purpose then, for no reason? Rather, we know that we have a purpose and reason, as Allah tells us in the Quran, and that is that Allah created us for His worship alone. That is our primary purpose. And then everything else that we have to do in order to live and survive in the dunya, it is part of that greater purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has placed for us, and that is His worship alone, Jalla fi'ula. So we realize this, and when we come to that realization, or the believers come to that realization after pondering and thinking, they say, Subhanak, glory be to you, O Allah. Far removed are you from just wasting time. You know the mythology that some people have, it is said, you know, like in mythologies, only you'll hear this, that some people say, oh, the gods are too busy. Why would they care about us? We're insignificant in terms of their creation. So in Greek mythology and Roman mythology, they used to say that there's too many gods. What would they care about what people do? They're not busy, they're not concerned, they're too busy. Or Allah Azza wa Jalla is too busy, doesn't care what we do, we're insignificant as His creation. These types of thinking and thoughts are alien to our religion. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that He created us for His worship. That Allah will hold us to account. That Allah will record everything that we do. That Allah will judge us and then reward or punish us accordingly. So Subhanak, glory be to you, O Allah. You are far removed from that which people assert concerning you. From the accusations that they make or these lies that they say concerning you. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, save us from the fire. Because that is essentially the goal of every believer. The goal of reading the Quran and understanding the Sunnah and following the religion and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. The goal is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and by that and through that to achieve success, which means to be saved from the fire. In verse 192, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues with another dua that these believers make, and they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَن تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Our Lord, You will truly humiliate those You commit to the fire. Indeed, the evildoers have no one to help them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that these believers, and look at these amazing, this amazing thing that takes place, that these believers, as they contemplate and ponder over the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it immediately leads them to dua. And that's what that contemplation should do. You know that your contemplation is correct and good when it brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it changes from contemplation into an action. When it increases you in terms of your love for Allah Azza wa Jalla, your taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dua, your ibadah. That is contemplation that is beneficial and good, and it is producing good results. So likewise, these people have said, when they've contemplated over this, O Allah, save us from the fire. "Oh Allah, indeed those who enter the fire have been humiliated. They are the ones who will suffer from total loss and from total misery. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ," and those people who do evil, none can come to their help. In verse 193, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions a further dua, and that is that the believers say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبَرَارِ. Our Lord, we heard someone calling us to faith and saying, "Believe in your Lord," and we believed. So our Lord, forgive us for our sins, wipe out our bad deeds, and grant that we join the righteous when we die. This is an amazing dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the du'as of the believers is that they say, "Oh Allah, we heard the one calling to Iman," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who then follow in his footsteps that call to Allah azza wa jal, they call to Iman. We heard them saying, "Believe in your Lord. Have Iman in your Lord." فَآمَنَّا, and we responded, we had that belief. We turn to you, O Allah. We accepted Iman. We believe in you alone. We worship you alone. We say, "La ilaha illallah." Allah Azza wa Jal says that if you do that, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, O Allah, therefore forgive us for our sins. One of the benefits, therefore, from this dua and this verse is that one of the greatest ways and means of having your dua accepted is by having Iman and Tawheed in Allah Azza wa Jal. It is from the greatest ways of having your dua accepted. Therefore, showing your Iman, showing your Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your dua by professing it, as is mentioned in this dua, it is one of the greatest ways of achieving forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning the people who stand on the day of Arafah in Arafah, he said that indeed the best of du'as is the du'a of Arafah. And the best that I and the prophets before me said is, "La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir." He's saying the best du'a that you can make, or the best du'a that you can ever make, is the one that's made on the day of Arafah for those people in Arafah. And the best du'a that all of the prophets ever made is the du'a of Tawheed. That you say, "La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir." And Allah Azza wa Jal, as a result, knows what it is that you want, and Allah gives to you and answers your du'as. And you find this similar in the Quran, this principle, because Allah Azza wa Jal mentions to us that the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the whale, in the depths of the ocean, what is the du'a that he made to seek Allah's help to be extracted from that situation, to be given relief in that time of difficulty? He said, "La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin." None has the right to be worshipped, O Allah, except you. Glory be to you, I have wronged myself. So it is an acknowledgement of Allah's tawheed, and it is an acknowledgement of our weakness and our sin. Likewise here, we say the statement of Iman, "O Allah, we heard the one calling us to believe in you, and we responded. So Allah, forgive us for our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا, and wipe away our bad deeds, expiate our bad deeds. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and cause us to die along with the righteous." What an amazing dua, what an amazing supplication to be made from the believer to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final verse that we will take today, 194, is then a further dua. So this is now the fourth dua that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, if you like, in terms of the categories. Allah Azza wa Jal says that the believer then says, رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Our Lord, bestow upon us all that you have promised through your messengers. Do not humiliate us on the day of resurrection, for indeed you never break your promise. O Allah Azza wa Jal, give to us all of the blessings. One of the beauties of the du'as of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the du'as are comprehensive. Short in words, great in meaning. Here, look at this dua. O Allah, grant to us everything that you promised us by the tongue of your messengers. Your messengers came, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told us that if you do this, you will get this reward and that reward and that. Rather than asking for each one of those things, the dua that they make is, O Allah, grant to us all of the promises that your messengers made. all of the promises that your messengers made, give us all of that. And that is the beauty of the Quran. And that is why from the du'as that are from the du'as that you should make and memorize and constantly recite are the du'as of the Quran, because they are comprehensive in nature. Look at the du'a that we mentioned already in Surah Al-Baqarah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, save us, give us the good of this life and the next life, and save us from the fire. That's a comprehensive dua. Oh Allah, give us all of the good of the dunya, all of the good of the akhirah. What more is left? And save us from the fire. And that is the nature of the du'as of the Quran and the Sunnah. So here they say, Oh Allah, bestow upon us all that you promised us through your messengers. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And O Allah, do not humiliate us on the day of resurrection. Do not humiliate us by punishing us. Do not humiliate us by exposing our sins and the errors that we made in this life. Do not humiliate us in any way on يوم القيامة. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. You never break your promise. What is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal? That if you have tawheed and you worship Allah, you stay away from the haram, you do the halal, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive your sins, and Allah will enter you into paradise, and Allah will veil your faults from others, and Allah Azza wa Jal will not humiliate you. And so that is what the people want. And therefore, in the next verse 195, which we will come on to in the next episode, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. Allah responded to them. Allah answers and accepts that which they say, and it is an amazing acceptance and reward that they will have. But we will leave that inshallah ta'ala for our next episode. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.